यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरदारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरदारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी हरे कृष्ण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 10 एंटाइटल्ड डिपार्चर ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्ण फॉर द्वारका टेक्स्ट 20 अनोन्यम आसित संजल्प उत्तम श्लोक चेतसाम कौरवेन्द्र पुरस्त्रीनाम सर्वश्रुति मनोहर अन्योन्यम आसित संजल्प उत्तम श्लोक चेतसाम कौरवेन्द्र पुरस्त्रीनाम सर्वश्रुति मनोहरः अन्योन्यम् आसित् संजल्प उत्तम श्लोक चेतसाम् कौरवेन्द्र पुरस्त्रीणाम् सर्वश्रुति मनोहरः అన్యోన్యం ఆసిత్ సంజల్ప ఉత్తమ శ్లోక చేతసాం కౌరవేంద్ర పురస్త్రీణాం సర్వశ్రుతి మనోహర అన్యోన్యమాసిత్ సంజల్ప ఉత్తమ శ్లోక చేతసాం కౌరవేంద్ర పురస్త్రీణాం సర్వశ్రుతి మనోహర. మాతాజీ అన్యోన్యం ఆసిత్ సంజల్ప ఉత్తమ శ్లోక చేతసాం కౌరవేంద్ర పురస్త్రీణాం సర్వశ్రుతి మనోహర. అన్యోన్యం అమంగ్ ఈచ్ అదర్ ఆసిత్ దేర్ వాజ్ సంజల్ప టాకింగ్ ఉత్తమ శ్లోక ద సుప్రీం హూ ఇస్ ప్రేజ్డ్ బై సెలెక్టెడ్ పోయిట్రీ చేతసాం ఆఫ్ దోస్ హూస్ హార్ట్స్ ఆర్ అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ దాట్ వే. కౌరవ ఇంద్ర ద కింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద కురుస్ పుర క్యాపిటల్ స్త్రీణాం ఆల్ ద లేడీస్ సర్వ ఆల్ శృతి ద వేదాస్ మనః హరః అట్రాక్టివ్ టు ద మైండ్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శిల ఎస్సీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శిల ప్రభుపాద్ కి. Translation: absorbed in the thoughts of the transcendental qualities of the Lord, who is sung in select poetry, the ladies on the roofs of all the houses of Hastinapur began to talk of him. This talk was more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas. Purport: in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that in all the Vedic literatures, the goal is the personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. Factually, the glories of the Lord are depicted in such literature as the Vedas, Ramayana and Mahabharata. And in the Bhagavatam, they are specifically mentioned in respect to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, while the ladies on the tops of the houses in the capitals of the king, in the capital of the kings of the Kuru dynasty were talking about the Lord, their talk was more pleasing than the Vedic hymns. Anything sung in the praise of the Lord is Shruti Mantra. There are songs of Thakur Narottam Das, one of the acharyas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, composed in simple Bengali language. But Thakur Vishwanath Chakravarti, another very learned acharya of the same Sampradaya, has approved the songs by Thakur Narottam Das to be as good as Vedic mantras. And this is so because of the subject matter. The language is immaterial, but the subject matter is important. The ladies who were all absorbed in the thoughts and actions of the Lord developed the consciousness of Vedic wisdom by the grace of the Lord. And therefore, although such ladies might not have been very learned scholars in Sanskrit or otherwise, still, whatever they spoke was more attractive than the Vedic hymns. The Vedic hymns in the Upanishads are sometimes indirectly directed to the Supreme Lord. But the talks of the lady were directly spoken of the Lord, and thus they were more pleasing to the heart. The lady's talks appear to be more valuable than the learned Brahmana's benedictions. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపా కదా మయ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురుః శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాంవితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Absorbed in the thought of the transcendental qualities of the Lord, who is glorified in select poetry, the ladies on the roofs of all the houses of Hastinapur began to talk of him. This talk was more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas. Hare Krishna. So, before starting, I beg the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, Srila Gurudev, my father, and all those who are listening online also. Again, you know, yesterday, Balram Shakti Prabhu, in his lecture, he mentioned that this Vyasasan is a place where, you know, Gurudev sits. And therefore, actually, we should not be sitting in such a place. You know, it is said that if you don't know something, your ignorance is bliss. But once you come to know something, after that you become more, you know. So I used to always feel a little uncomfortable that who are we to sit here and speak from Srimad Bhagavatam. But after hearing yesterday's class, you know, all the more it has sunk in that we are not qualified to sit on this place at all. And if such a qualified devotee like Balram Shakti Prabhu can say, like this, can speak with such humility, I really don't know what we can talk, but I still beg for your blessings before starting. So, before we discuss the verse, today is also the appearance day of Srila Gadadhar Pandit, who is Srimati Radharani, who incarnated along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was his constant companion right from his childhood. So, you know, even in the childhood, Nimai and Gadadhar, they used to play with each other. They used to do everything together. They used to study together. They went to the same school to study. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to always, as they grew up a little bit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to always engage in all kinds of fallacious logical discussions. But, and Gadadhar Pandit was a devotee, right from the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit did not manifest his devotional symptoms. But Gadadhar, right from the start, was always devotee, Vaishnav. So he did not like it. You know, sometimes we have friends, very good friends, and we have come to bhakti and they have not. And when we hear them, they try to show that, you know, we understand you're Vaishnav. And they'll say something about Krishna, trying to glorify, sometimes. They want to glorify, they want to say something nice, but they end up saying something which makes you, you know, squirm like this. Arey, kya bol diya? But that's fine. You know, so even Gadadhar Pandit, he was very uncomfortable when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would talk all this logic and everything. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would tease him that, Gadadhar, one day you see, I will become the best Vaishnav. And then even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma will come to see me. You know, he used to say, and Gadadhar Pandit was, yeah, I am waiting for that day. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he went to Gaya, when he went to Gaya, and there he met Ishwarapuri and then he came back. After that, when he was completely transformed and he manifested his devotional symptoms, Gadadhar Pandit was in great ecstasy. And actually, Sachi Mata asked Gadadhar Pandit once, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in great ecstasy of separation from Krishna. He asked Gadadhar Pandit, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So he said, he's in your heart. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually started, you know, scratching his chest that, let me see, I can't see Krishna. So Gadadhar Pandit, somehow he pacified him that, no, you know, he's here only, he's just nearby, don't have to break open your chest. So Sachi Mata heard this and she said that, this person knows how to pacify my Nimai when he is in this kind of mood. So she begged of Gadadhar Pandit that you always take care of Nimai and always be with him. So for rest of his life, Gadadhar Pandit never left the side of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was always with him. He actually took initiation from Pundrik Vidyanidhi. That is one story in itself. I'll not get into that. And he took a vow of Kshetra Sannyas. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally went to Jagannath Puri, so Gadadhar Pandit also went. And he took a vow of Kshetra Sannyas that I will never leave this Kshetra, Jagannath Puri. And when actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to leave and go to Vrindavan, you know, to visit Vrindavan, Gadadhar Pandit also wanted to go with him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped him. No, Are, you have taken Kshetra Sannyas vow. So how can you come with me? So Gadadhar Pandit said, leave this vow. I don't want the vow. What is more important, you or the vow? I don't want the vow. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you should not. You should set the right example. So he stayed back. And he would constantly recite Srimad Bhagavatam along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is described that they would be chanting continuously for hours together, again and again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would ask him to recite the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, of Prahlad Maharaj. And again, dozens of times, he would keep reciting and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, recite again, so beautiful. And with their tears, you know, the whole, whatever Bhagavatam they were reading from, the tears from their eyes would completely, you know, erase what was written on those palm leaves. So this was the love that Gadadhar Pandit and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had for Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he was very old, he would offer worship at Tota Gopinath temple near Jagannath Puri. And he would offer a garland to the Lord every day. But when he became very old and bent over, he was not able to, you know, stand straight to put the garland on the Lord. And Shri Krishna, Tota Gopinath, in the mood of reciprocating with Srimati Radharani, he actually bent down and remained, you know, in that kneeling posture so that Gadadhar Pandit could, you know, put a garland. So this is Gadadhar Pandit, one of the Panchatattva, who Srimati Radharani herself, who incarnated along with with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to actually exhibit this pure devotional mood. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to express devotion, to taste devotion of Krishna. But the personified devotion is Gadadhar Pandit. So, coming to the verse, the background of this verse is after anointing Yudhishthir Maharaj as the king, after the war of Mahabharata was over, after they had met Bhishma Dev, then Yudhishthir was crowned as king, and then Krishna stayed for some time in Hastinapur, and then finally he had to leave because he also has a family and so many devotees in Dwarka. So the Lord had to leave. So when he is leaving, actually, the description given is so beautiful that, you know, the the devotees, all the residents of Hastinapur, they were in so much pain, so much separation. One can imagine, you know, see, we have to realize when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to realize how far away we are from the ideal, you know. We sometimes get certain thoughts about ourselves, you know, ki we are good devotees, we have been in the movement for 25 years, 30 years. Seniority complex aa jate hai. There is inferiority complex, superiority complex, and there is seniority complex. You feel you are very senior. But you realize how far away we are, that, you know, we have no love for Krishna in our heart, nothing. That if we come to Gopinath temple, we come to Shishirava Gopinath temple, when we are going away, we don't feel any tears in our eyes. We don't feel any separation. We just, you know, kind of formality. We bow down and we leave. But the pain that the Pandavas are feeling when the Lord is leaving, because, you know, it's described that they used to stand with him, they used to sit with him, they used to eat with him, they used to sleep with him, they used to touch his body. Imagine Supreme Personality of Godhead, all beautiful, all attractive, Shyam Sundar Krishna. You're with him and then he's leaving. So painful. So the Pandavas and all the residents of Hastinapur, they are in Vipralamba Bhav, and the queens. So when he's leaving, actually there's a whole procession that is going. And the queens, the various queens of Hastinapur, maybe the queens of the Kauravas, the various, you know, courtiers, so many people got killed. You know, many of them were widows. Most of them were widows. So, as per the etiquette, they did not come in front of Krishna. They don't come in front of him. They go onto the roofs of their various houses and palaces. And from there, they are observing Krishna. And they are showering him with flowers. And then they are glorifying him in their prayers. So, this is the background with which, you know, today's verse is covered. So, this glorification of Krishna is so wonderful. When we glorify Krishna by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, when we chant his holy names, we speak about his pastimes, it is actually very glorious. If we see, Krishna is glorified through all millenniums, through the millenniums, for hundreds and thousands of years, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna has been glorified. So in this particular verse, it is said, select poetry, you know. So I was just thinking about what are all the different ways how Krishna is glorified. Through select poetry, for example, we have had great poets like Surdas, who wrote this Sur Sangam. Hundreds are there. I'm just taking one or two names. There is Andal, you know, who's considered one of the great saints of South India. She wrote these poems glorifying Krishna, Lord Vishnu. Then we have King Kulashekara, who glorified Krishna through the Mukundamala Stotra. So poetry, through millenniums, devotees through beautiful poems have glorified Krishna. Then we see through music, you know, most of the ragas that we hear, that we learn, you know, they are typically, you will see, they are composed on bhajans of Krishna. You know, it is, they don't just compose ragas on anything. It is, you know, composed on glorification of Krishna. I remember many years back, there was one Hindi film in which one song was there. Mana Tarapata Hari Darshan Ko Aaj. It is some classical raga, but it is composed on a bhajan, you know, and such beautiful music, actually. Our Indian classical music is so beautiful. But all ragas, it is said in one sense, emanate from the flute of Krishna. There is a story about the Shehnai player, famous Shehnai player, Bismillah Khan. Once he was traveling in a train from Jamshedpur to some other place. And when he was in the train, at one of the stations, one cowherd boy got into the train and sat in front of him, and he had a flute and he started playing one tune. So when he started playing this tune was so beautiful that Bismillah Khan was completely, he was bewitched by it. He said, he gave him some money. He said, you play this again. So the boy played again. Again he played the tune. And then he liked it so much. He said, you play it again. He gave him more money. And finally, all his money got over. Bismillah Khan. All his money got over. And he kept hearing this tune. And then he realized, after that, the boy smiled beautifully and got down. And Bismillah Khan realized that this cannot be, this tune is not ordinary. This boy who is playing, he realized this is not ordinary. He must be Krishna. So then this raga which Krishna played for Bismillah Khan, he gave it a name as Kanhaiya Ra or something like that. And then he went to the concert and he played this rag. You know, in his Chennai, he played this rag. And various music, of course, when such a great Visharad is playing, many musicians come to listen, right? And they're all, see, all musicians who have learned classical music, they, you know, they are immediately, they are identifying, ha, this is Bhairavi, this is Todi, this is this. They are identifying all the different ragas. And when they heard this rag, they're like, are, ye kahan se hai? Ye kaun se gharane ka hai? Kahan se hai? Where is this rag come from? And then after the concert, they went and they asked Bismillah Khan that, where did you get this rag from? And then he explained the story. The next day, this came in newspaper. And then the famous flute player, Hari Prasad Chaurasia came and met Bismillah Khan. He said, I also want to hear this rag. So Bismillah Khan sang this rag for him. And then this rag became very famous. So even music, you know, is in glorification of Krishna. He is glorified through literature. He is glorified through dance. You know, we have the Kathak dance. So the Kathak dance, Kathak is a very famous form of dance in India. Many people, Bharatanatyam is not so easy to learn. But Kathak, many, you know, many Matajis, many men also have. Gopi Krishan, you know, the famous dancer, he also used to, was a great teacher of Kathak. So this Kathak, it is described that Krishna is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. That is where this Kathak was created. So this ta-ta-thai, you know, ta-ta was the sound of his feet bashing on the heads of Kaliya. So even music and dance, you know, is, then we see in Jagannath Puri, the Devadas is dancing again for the glorification of Lord Jagannath. Then what to speak of paintings? There are different painting styles, you know, painting Krishna. So sometimes when they paint Krishna, they paint his face, they paint his body, they paint his Tribhanga form. They paint just the peacock feather, you know, and that reminds someone of Krishna. We just see a peacock feather, you are reminded of Krishna, because they are so inseparable. Then he is glorified through sculpture, through deities, Guruvayur, Udupi, all these Iskon temples all over the world, Sri Dwarkadish, Jagannath Puri, through songs, through bhajans, you know, through dramas, so many ways the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has been glorified for millenniums. So here, in this particular verse, coming to this verse, who were these ladies and, you know, of Kurukshetra, of Hastinapur, and why were they glorifying Krishna? One may wonder, no? If someone comes to know, if you come to know, for example, okay, that so-and-so person is responsible for your husband dying. If any Mataji comes to know that so-and-so person is responsible, it is under his watch and his direction. It was his direction to Arjuna fight. And therefore, so many people died. If you know that this is the person responsible, would you have any feelings of positivity for him? Let alone glorify him, right? So how is it that these ladies of Hastinapur, you know, and ladies who were the wives and daughters-in-law of those who died in the battlefield, right? Then how they are glorifying him? So Srila Prabhupada explains in the previous verse, in verse 14 in the purport, very beautiful. Prabhupada says that they never came directly in contact with Krishna. These ladies, they never came in contact with Krishna. But all of them had heard about him, you know, because Krishna is an integral character through the Mahabharata, through all the different things, you know. We always see the Mahabharata from the point of view of the Pandavas, right? That what the Pandavas went through, what suffering they went through, how much difficulty was caused to them. We see from that point of view. We don't see from point of view of the Kauravas and their wives and the people in Hastinapur. They are also getting this news, right? Oh, Krishna saved them from Lakshagra. Krishna saved them from, the curse of Durvasa. So many places Krishna is coming and saving these Pandavas. Hey, kon? Who is this Krishna? And then they are hearing that Krishna is, he is Supreme Lord, and they are also getting this pastime they are hearing. So like Rukmini, who simply by hearing the glories of Krishna, by hearing the beautiful pastimes of Krishna narrated by the Brahmanas of her father's kingdom, simply by hearing she got attracted to Krishna. She said, I don't want to marry anyone else. I only want to marry. Now, what is the chances of her getting married to Krishna? She is in Vidarbha. Krishna is in Mathura. It's like a, interstate marriage. Bahut lamba hai wo. No chance. But she had desire. Inhi se shaadi karna hai, to inhi ke saath shaadi karna. And Krishna reciprocated, right? So in the same way, these ladies, they have heard of him. They have heard his great activities. And after hearing his activities, they are thinking of him. They're constantly thinking of him. And because of thinking of him, because of talking about him, about his name, his fame, his glories, his pastimes, because of all this, they became affectionate also. Prabhupada says, though they were not in touch with him, simply by hearing Krishna Katha, by speaking Krishna Katha, we can also become affectionate towards Krishna. We can also become attached to Krishna, right? So they were also, simply by constantly hearing about him, meditating on his glories, they became attached to him. So Prabhupada says, therefore, directly or indirectly, directly you think of Krishna, standing in front of Sri Radha Gopinath, you are thinking of Krishna. But indirectly also, suddenly sometimes you slip over something, sometimes and you lose your balance. And you say, oh Krishna. Even indirectly, directly, knowingly, unknowingly, by desire, without desire, if we think of Krishna, we can become attached to him. So these queens, since they were already attached to Krishna, right? It didn't affect them that he was the cause of their husband's death, right? Or their son's death. They were not affected by that because they had already become attached to Krishna. They knew that he is the Supreme Lord and that he is, his will is supreme, and this is happening to re-establish dharma. So now they were attached to him, and as it is mentioned in this verse, they were absorbed in the thoughts of his transcendental qualities. So one is attachment is there. Second, absorption in the thoughts of his transcendental qualities. And then, to add to this attachment and absorption, now the very complex emotion of separation was getting attached to it, was getting added to this, right? Because Krishna is leaving, they have seen him for a few days, few weeks, they have seen while he is there. And now when he's leaving, the very thought of that separation, that now Krishna is leaving, and they know that they may never see him again in this lifetime. Right? Imagine what pain you will feel if you are attached to somebody, that person is going away. Somebody goes away to the US. Parents always cry when someone goes to another city also. Forget another country. Parents always cry because they feel, I don't know when I will see him again. What if I die before he or she comes back? They feel great pain. So they are also thinking that Lord is leaving. So in the state of great separation, one, there is love, and second, that he is leaving. That pain of separation, that vipralamba, they are crying. And in the previous verses is described that even they are crying, they don't want to cry. Why they don't want to cry? Because when someone is leaving, if someone cries, it is considered inauspicious. So they are somehow wiping their eyes from the tears so that Krishna can't see them crying. But if he sees them crying, he may feel, upset. They don't want to upset the Lord. So they are crying, but they are, drying their tears, and their heart is throbbing. In this state, they were in state of complete spiritual ecstasy. There is attachment to Krishna. There is absorption in Krishna. There is a vipralamba bhav from Krishna. And in that ecstatic state, they start speaking his glories. So you can imagine when, you know, a devotee, we don't have any of this. We don't have attachment, we don't have absorption, we have no separation. So when we speak, nothing comes except what words we have heard from previous, from devotees, what we heard from Guru, what we have heard from other Vaishnavas. We can repeat that. But that bhava, that feeling of emotion that they are experiencing, we don't have it. So they start speaking about his glories. And, you know, it is described, Prabhupada says in the purport, that since they were absorbed in the thoughts and the actions of the Lord, they developed the consciousness of Vedic wisdom. Now, this is very interesting. Prabhupada says that they were not very, Sanskrit scholars or something, and not that they know the exact, meter of verses composed in the glorification of the Lord. Not that they were kavi, they were not some poets that, on the spot. Like Keshav Kashmiri, on the spot he composed 100 verses glorifying Mother Ganga. They are not like that. They are not some, pandits. But still, they developed the consciousness of Vedic wisdom. Why? Because they were absorbed in Krishna. Krishna is the source of all knowledge. Vedeshta sarve aham eva vidyo. Vedanta krit veda videva chaham, Krishna says. So he is the super soul residing in their heart, and he empowers, the Lord empowers. Whatever we speak, many devotees, before they start, they chant this prayer. Mukam karoti vachalam. Pangum langayate girim. Tat kripak tamaham vande shri guru dinataranam. Mukam karoti vachalam. Person who is mukha, who is dumb, who has no ability to speak, karoti vachalam, can speak eloquent verses. Pangum langayate girim, a person who is lame can cross over mountains by the grace of Guru. What is the grace of Guru? It is the empowerment coming through from Krishna through the via medium, transparent via medium of the Guru. So these ladies, they were empowered to speak beautiful. And Krishna says in the Gita, Tesham Satata Yukta Nam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayantite. So if Tesham Satata Yukta Nam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, if you are constantly engaged in the thoughts of Krishna, then Krishna Dadami Buddhi Yogam, Krishna gives the intelligence. So like this, these ladies got the intelligence to glorify Krishna. And then it is mentioned that this Vedic hymns, why is it? It's a very interesting thing being said over here, that the words of these ladies, where they are glorifying Krishna, are more pleasing than the hymns of the Vedas. Okay, so this is a bit of a controversial point, and it's worth thinking about it for a moment. That what is being said over here, who has composed the Vedas? Supreme Lord himself. Krishna himself has spoken the Vedas. And who has written down the Vedas? Srila Vedavyas. Who is Vedavyas? Literary incarnation of Krishna. And these Vedas and Upanishads are called apaurusheya. That means they are not human. They are perfect. Every word of the Vedas is perfect. There is, you cannot find any fault in anything. Not one single verse you can find any fault. It is perfect. A Paurusheya. But here it is said that this glorification of Krishna by these ladies, by these, wives of Hastinapur men, it was more pleasing than the Vedic hymns. How is that possible? So Prabhupada explains that the Vedic hymns in the Upanishads, they also glorify Krishna, but indirectly. They don't directly glorify Krishna. Which is one of the reasons why after composing, after writing so much, itna mehnat karne ke baad, Vyasdev was not satisfied. After, as they say, magnum opus. Such a big achievement, so much writing. Still, Vyasdev did not feel any satisfaction in his heart. He was feeling ki missing, something is missing. So therefore, then Narad Muni comes and gives him the specific instruction, please directly glorify Krishna by speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is more pleasing than the Vedic literature. It's the crest jewel of all Vedic literature. Why? Because it glorifies Krishna directly. And these ladies, since they are directly glorifying Krishna, it is more pleasing than the Vedic hymns. And Prabhupada also adds in the end one small phrase, it is more valuable than the learned Brahmana's benedictions. So yesterday Prabhuji spoke about the previous verse where in the distance, you know, Brahmanas could be heard blessing the Lord, which, you know, is appropriate and inappropriate at same time. So qualified Brahmanas are glorifying Krishna, are blessing him, but this is more valuable than that. So it's a very, wonderful thought for us to meditate on, that it is not necessary that you have to be some great Vedic scholar to please the Lord. You know, sometimes we have this feeling, ki only if I memorize all the verses of Bhagavad Gita, at least the important 108 verses of Gita and important verses of Bhagavatam, and I quote, dhadhad quote kiya lecture mein. Not necessary. Krishna is pleased if you, in your simple broken language, you know, I'll not name, but we all have experience of devotees who are not so good in their speech. Baat karne mein wo mahir nahi hai ki ekdam badhiya, you know, phadaphat quote karte verses aur bahut acche se structured way mein preach karte. Bahut sare, there are many preachers who are not so, I mean, to the intelligence, it may not appeal. But when they speak, they make devotees. They don't, get people who are fans. They don't have fans. They don't have fans. That, are Prabhuji, aapka lecture to bahut badhiya hai. They don't have fans. They have devotees who take to Krishna consciousness by hearing them. Right? How is that possible? Purity. So really, we should not strive for perfection in memorizing scripture or in learning Sanskrit. We can, no harm in doing that. If you have the God-given ability to do that, by all means we should do it. A lot of people are inspired by hearing verses. It sounds very bona fide, it sounds very awe-inspiring. But even if you're not able to do it, this tells us that if you simply absorb yourself in Krishna, and absorb yourself in the mood of serving Guru, that I am not qualified to sit here, I have no qualifications to speak to this wonderful audience. We know fully well, it's a 100% conviction. But because we have been given an order to speak, as Prabhuji said yesterday, we have been ordered to speak, therefore we sit here and we speak. So, in another thing that Prabhupada says in the purport, anything sung in the praise of the Lord is Shruti Mantra. What is Shruti? Shruti means Vedas. So anything sung in the praise of the Lord is Shruti Mantra. In the Bhagavatam first canto 1.5.11 it is said, on the other hand, that literature which is full of description of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, form, pastimes, etc. of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation. Right? That literature which is full of description of the Lord is a different creation. Full of transcendental words directed towards bringing a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literature, although imperfectly composed, it may not be composed in perfect symmetry, perfect rhyme, not necessary. Even if it is imperfectly composed, such wonderful literature, they are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. What a wonderful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we see the Bhagavatam is full of things like this, like the Gopi Geet, you know, in the 10th canto, 31st chapter. The gopis, when they have experienced separation from Krishna, Krishna has met them, they have come to meet Krishna, and then Krishna suddenly vanishes from the Ras Leela, he vanishes. And the gopis are, you know, you imagine what is their mood. They have got away from their homes just by hearing the flute of Krishna to meet Krishna. And now Krishna has left them. They are in such pain. And in that pain of separation, Vipralamba Bhav, they composed this Gopi Geet. Now, Maharaj, Rana Swami Maharaj has mentioned that they are not very educated. They are, you know, mostly uneducated village girls. But look at how the words have come out. Look at the depth of each verse that they are speaking. You know, one of the famous verses that is quoted very often, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj is to sing this in a bhajan. Tava kathamritam tatta jivanam kavibiriditam kalmashapaham. So that, it is so beautiful. The meaning of that verse is so beautiful. So this is composed by gopis, you know, who are not very educated women, but in the ecstasy of their separation from Krishna, because of their deep connection with Krishna, the words just flow out. We have seen in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva is a child, he's 5 years old. How much 5-year-old children can speak about Krishna? What they can speak? But Dhruva, when he saw Lord Vishnu Sakshat standing in front of him, you know, then a bolti band ho gayi. He didn't know what to say. He was just so overwhelmed by the darshan of the Supreme Lord. It is an unbelievable sight. When we stand in front of Radha Gopinath and we take darshan also, it is a wonderful sight. We don't know what to say. You know, this experience all of you may be having, at least I have it all the time, that we read prayers of devotees. We think in our mind that we should also pray like this. But when we come in front of the Lord, we have nothing. Muh mein kuch words hi nahi aate. We don't know what to say. We are overwhelmed. Not overwhelmed. Actually, we are ignorant. It's not overwhelmed. We are just ignorant. We don't know what to say. So, because of the connection that they had, Dhruva was blessed. You know, the Lord placed his conch shell on his head. And then suddenly the words started flowing. So, it's another proof point for us that really what Krishna says, sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. That all memory, all knowledge, then the memory of that knowledge and the forgetfulness of that knowledge, all of it comes from Krishna only. Right? This is proof. So if the Lord wishes, he can make a 5-year-old child speak eloquent, you know, Sanskrit verses. And if he wants, most established scholar becomes speechless, like Keshav Kashmiri. He didn't know what to say. He had lost his ability to speak. So then, Prabhupada says that, you know, he quotes, of course, there are many examples, I'm not going to. Narottam Das Thakur, you know, Prabhupada quotes about Narottam Das Thakur, that the songs written by Narottam Das Thakur, now who is Narottam Das Thakur? Again, one of the eternal associates of the Supreme Lord, associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the person for whom Lord Chaitanya left a legacy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't leave legacy for anybody. He had no possessions. He was sannyasi. So what legacy he left? He left Krishna Prem. What Krishna, what love he had for Krishna. He left it in the river Padma and he said, and he chanted Narottam, Narottam. And that Narottam was not even born at that time. Afterwards he was born, he took bath in Padma river and then he received that love. Right? So this Narottam Das Thakur, Prabhupada says, the songs written by him are simple songs written in simple Bengali language. He's not composed anything in Sanskrit. He could have, but he composed in simple Bengali language. And who is glorifying those bhajans? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of our greatest acharyas, right? Even, you know, all the, in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, devotees keep quoting from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur because he was such a great scholar, such a wonderful scholar. So he is saying that these bhajans written by Narottam Das Thakur are as good as Vedic mantras. So this is non-different. And Prabhupada explains why. He says, this is so because the subject is more important than the language. If you don't have language, you are not endowed with the ability to speak. You can just stand in front of, you know, small children, sometimes we see, you know, babies in our Krishna consciousness movement, small children, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old children, you know, they come into the temple and immediately they run straight to the altar, right? They run straight to the altar and they stand in front of the altar and they're looking at Krishna and they're saying something, oh Krishna, Krishna, they can't even say Krishna, Krishna, Kutna, Kutna, something, you know, there's something mumbling, kuch to badbad kar rahe ho log. But even those broken words of those children are very pleasing to the Lord. Right? Bhava Grahi Janardana. Krishna is very, you know. So this subject of glorifying Krishna is more important than the language used. You know, and Narottamdas Thakur's bhajan, such beautiful. Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gunayanu. Manushya Janama Paila. Radha Krishna Na Bhajila. Janila Sunila. Vishakhainu. This is the start of the pehle hi pyar se thappad maar diya ki manushya janma paila. You have taken human birth. Radha Krishna na bhajila. You have not glorified Shri Radha Gopinath. You have not glorified Shri Radha Krishna. Janiya suniya, knowingly vishakhainu. You have had poison. Vrindavana ramya sthana, divya chintamani. Each stanza of that beautiful bhajan is painting a picture of what is this Vrindavan, what is this beautiful Vrindavan, you know. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that these are like Vedic mantras, not like, he says as good as Vedic mantras. So we see that Krishna, like we were saying about the child, Krishna finds these informal spontaneous prayers of, statements or even chastisements of his pure devotees, he finds them more attractive than the formal verses in the Vedic literature. Not that he doesn't like. Not that if someone chants mantras from, you know, Purusha Shukta or Shrimad Bhagavatam or Brahma Samhita, not that Lord says, no, I didn't like. He likes. He very much likes. But when a pure devotee, someone who has no malice in the heart, someone who has no envy in the heart towards the Supreme Lord, like children are like that. They have no envy. They have still not learnt the horrible, nasty ways of the material world. They are pure in their heart. So when they come in front of the Lord and they glorify, Lord is very pleased. He finds it more pleasing, you know, than the formal verses. You know, in Ujjwal Neelamani, I found this small, you know, passage yesterday while I was searching for broken words, and I came across this. So it is described over there in Ujjwal Neelamani that when Krishna, when he met Radharani for first time, well, met, you know, where all Lalita and Vishakha have organized for a meeting between Radha and Krishna in some place. So when Radharani came in front of Krishna, he greeted Srimati Radharani with joking words. Kuch to hasi mazak kiya unhone, Bhagwan ne. So when he joked at her or with her, some joke he cracked, something joking words Krishna used, Radharani became nervous. For first time, as it is, when you are meeting your dear one, when you meet for first time, as it is, you are nervous. And then if someone, that person cracks a joke, you become full pani. She became fully nervous. And she was so frightened that she could only stutter in reply. She was not able to answer properly. So it is described here that Srimati Radharani's broken words were like streams of fresh nectar upon the shores of Krishna's ears. So her broken words, where she is nervous and intention she is speaking something, it is like, you know, like on the shore, waves come, you know, fresh nectar is coming. Like that Krishna was feeling by hearing her broken words. And Krishna is regularly chastised, right? We see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear in the local Braj Katha, that Krishna is regularly chastised and he likes it. When the gopis chastise him, you cannot meet Srimati Radharani. Jao. Nahin, not allowed. Today she is not wanting to meet with you. But I want to meet. Sorry, you cannot meet. Go away. Jao. Yahan jao aise. And they send him away. They chastise him when he killed Arishtasur. You are contaminated. No, we cannot even come near you now. Go away from here. They chastise. And Krishna is, he is Supreme Lord. He can do what he wants. He is Abhigya Swaraj. He is independent. But still, he becomes tense. They are rejecting me. Know what I'll do. You know, and he is in so much tension because of that, and he becomes very worried. You tell me what I should do. I'll do whatever you tell me. But don't, aisa mereko khafa mat ho jao. Don't just, you know, separate me like this from all of you. I cannot live like this. And they say, okay, theek hai. Tum jao, go take bath in all the holy rivers across the universe. Then only we will look at you. And Krishna, that chastisement he accepts. Okay, at least you are giving me chance. No, I'll find a way. Main koi solution nikalta hun. So Lord accepts this chastisement. When the gopis, elderly gopis, they chastise him. You know, when they see him stealing butter, they chastise him. Once all the gopis came, and you know, they had many times caught Krishna, but Krishna used to slip away every time. Once the gopis came in front of Mother Yashoda, and they started complaining to her, that your Krishna, he comes and every day he comes and steals the butter. And wherever we hide it, he finds it. And he steals the butter. So Yashoda Mai says, okay, to thoda upar usko chada ke rakho na. You tie it in the rafters upstairs, then he won't be able to find it. He said, no, they make these pyramids, they climb up and they take the butter. And if they are not able to reach the butter, they throw stones and they break the butter pot. Matlab aisa unka shaitani hai. What kind of naughty behavior? You know, they come and break the pots. So then he says, then hide it in a dark place. A dark place, because of all the jewels on their body, as it is, their body is always shining. They have some effulgence coming from their body, and all the jewels that you are putting on their body, they shine so much that with that light they are able to find it. So Yashoda Mai says, okay, to main unko jewelry dalna band karu? Nahi, don't do that. It's such beautiful. We don't want to miss seeing the beauty of Krishna. And while they are complaining like this, Krishna is sitting beside them and he's watching the show. He's watching the fun. And they are telling Yashoda Mai, just look at him. Kaisa shaitan hai ladka. How naughty he is. While we are complaining about him, from there he's looking and nicely smiling at us. You know, so naughty this boy is. They are chastising him. And Krishna enjoys it. Every moment of it he is enjoying. Then the gopas. Gopas also chastise Krishna. You know, his gopa friends. So they... When they are, you know, Krishna is being prepared by Yashoda Mai every day. Every day that is one big ritual. Where she makes him, she gives him bath and she makes him stand. And says, now let me dress you nicely. Like BT dressing, right? It starts at around 5:20 a.m. or so. 5:20, 5:30 a.m. And it goes on till 7:30, 7:45 or 2 hours. Dressing Krishna is not an ordinary thing. But every limb of his body beautifully, just appropriately decorated. So she is decorating him. And outside the gopa boys are saying, ki Krishna, where are you? Aao jaldi. Apna play delay ho raha hai. Chalo, come fast. And Krishna is telling Yashoda Mai, Mata jara jaldi, can you speed up? They are waiting for me. I have to go. And she is doing very slowly. Like sometimes we get irritated, no? Someone is doing something for us and doing very slowly. Jaldi karo na. Hurry up. I remember once, you know, we had gone to Pune Yatra many years back. This is almost 20, 25 years back. We were going to Pune Yatra and that time we were all Nausikhya devotees. Nay, you know, abhi, kore, green behind the ears. So we had gone for Pune Yatra and we were staying at one devotee's house. So in each house, there was one senior devotee to take care of that group to ensure everyone reaches on time. So we had to reach at 6 o'clock at Mafatlal Bungalow for Japa. So we were all having our bath one by one and, you know, coming out. And then we were wearing our dhoti, you know, aisa slowly. Aisa. And then haath se chhoot gaya. Fir wapas aisa. Nahi na, hum log ko dhoti pehenne ko bhi nahi aata hai. So we were all doing... And Vishwarup Prabhu was our team leader. He was there with us. Vishwarup Prabhu, incidentally, was his birthday yesterday, his appearance day. So he was looking at us, you know, for some time. And after some time, he said, excellent. He came to us and pat, 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 andar. In 5 minutes, he finished 30 people. Fatafat sabka, you know, cut, sabko ready kiya. Chalo abhi, let's go. So sometimes, you know, Krishna would also feel like that. Mata, thoda jaldi karo, they are waiting. And those boys start threatening Krishna. They start chastising him. If you don't come now, we will not take you to play. Abhi ke abhi aa jao. Varna hum tumhare saath khelenge hi nahi. Jao tum, hum log nikal rahe hain yahan se. Krishna, they're leaving. Mata, they'll not play with me. Please. And she's like, dheere, aaram se. Kar rahi hun. You know? So this way they chastise and Yashoda Mai is not listening. Then sometimes when they go to play, when they are playing, Rohini Mata comes and calls. Yashoda tells him that, tell Krishna to come now for lunch. Lunch time ho gaya, bula unko. And Rohini Mata goes and calls. And Krishna Balaram don't even listen. They continue playing. And Rohini, and that's what all children do, right? Mothers first time when they call, they don't come only. So Rohini comes and tells Yashoda that, Are, they're not coming. Then Yashoda goes and she calls and, you know, in a stern voice, come immediately, your father is waiting for you, you have to come now. So Krishna, you know, is very grudgingly, he says, okay, chalo, vi jana padega. So he gets up and he goes. And when he goes, the Gopas chastise him again. He says, ja rahe ho? Abhi to game ka maja aane laga hai. Now you are leaving. Ab jaoge to hum log kal tere saath nahi khelenge. From now on we will not play. We don't want to play with someone like this. Just when you are losing, you are running away like this. Ye kya hai? This is cowardly nature. No, we will not play only with you. Go, go. And Krishna is again thinking ki main jaun, nahi jaun. So this is the nature that he is chastised by the Gopas also. And then of course Mother Yashoda is also chastising him from time to time. Because she wants to see, are mere bete ko achhe sanskar mile. You know, the Damodar Leela, why she punishes him? Why she ties him to Ukhal? Because otherwise he's too chanchal. Bahut chanchal hai ye ladka. Isko kaise control kiya jaye? To usko bandh hi dete. Right? She is also chastising him all the time. But the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is the proprietor and controller and enjoyer of the entire universe, of all universes, that person, he enjoys this chastisement even more than the choicest prayers offered by the Brahmanas in the Vedic hymns. So how do we understand this? How do we understand that Krishna appreciates this? So when the connection is at the soul level with Krishna, you know, today our connection with Krishna is still at the bodily level. It has barely entered our mind. Soul is very far away. You know, we don't think of Krishna enough. Right? Soul is like direct connection where you have realized. Right? What do we say? Atma Sakshatkar. What is self-realization for Vaishnava? Where we truly realize, truly. Till then we are theoretically humko malum hai, sab pata hai. You know, but when we truly realize that I am not this body which I am trying to enjoy, I am spirit soul. This spirit soul is servant of Krishna and the Krishna is my supreme loving father. He is the most loving personality in the entire universe. When that realization comes, that is self-realization for Vaishnava. So when that connection comes at the soul level with Krishna, external bodily manifestation doesn't matter. How does it matter? Whether, you know, we see like that Brahmana in Sri Rangam, who was chanting the Bhagavad Gita, verses of Bhagavad Gita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him, he saw that other Brahmanas are laughing at him because he's not able to pronounce Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not so easy to pronounce for most people. But, you know, for Brahmana in Sri Rangam, imagine he's surrounded by scholars and he's chanting badly and they're all laughing at him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees him that he's continuing to chant and he's chanting with such taste. You know, he's got tears rolling down his eyes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks him, ki, are you're not chanting so properly. How you are chanting like this? Why you're still chanting? He said, no, my guru gave me instruction that I must, you know, chant the holy name. I must chant the Bhagavad Gita daily. So therefore, though I am not able to chant properly, still to please my guru, I am doing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's wonderful. Very nice spirit. But then how come you're crying? What are you crying? If you can't read, you can't understand Sanskrit, how you're crying? So then he explains that, no, you know, when I read Bhagavad Gita, that picture comes in front of my eyes where the Lord is seated on a chariot below Arjun and he's driving the chariot like a servant, like an ordinary servant, he's serving Krishna. And when I see that image, you know, I can't imagine how compassionate, how carefree is this Supreme Lord to his pure devotee? When I think of that, tears roll from my eyes. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he embraced him and said, you have truly understood the spirit of Bhagavad Gita. So when there is a connection of the soul with the Lord, it doesn't matter what is your body, you know, like women, there is often this point, you know, a lot of, even in recent times, some people have objected to the words of Bhagavad Gita, words of scripture, which describe that, people who are less intelligent like Shudra, Vaishya, Shudra and women. Women less intelligent. So it is people get very offended, and rightly so. They feel, hey, how you can say like this about women? So once, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, she was very, you know, she used to feel that, you know, the sannyasi disciples of Srila Prabhupada who are men, you know, somewhat kind of looked down, you know, oh, women are less intelligent, like that. So she was feeling very offended. So she went to Srila Prabhupada and probably she complained to him that, you know, what is this, you know, that women are not being treated properly. So Prabhupada gave such a beautiful answer, so beautiful. You know, this is worth, you know, framing and meditating on for, you know, forever. He says, well, if you think you are a woman, if you think you are a woman, means you are less intelligent. Because you are supposed to understand that you are a spirit soul and that your real identity is transcendental to bodily designations. It does not matter whether you're a man or a woman or an animal or a child or a tree or whatever you are. If at the soul level, if at a spiritual level, through the process of bhakti, we are connecting with Krishna, doesn't matter. So Prabhupada is saying, you're a woman, you think you're a woman, then you will be in this material world forever. You think you are a man, you are big sannyasi, I am great devotee, you will remain in this material world forever. Only when we rise above these bodily designations and come to the point of understanding, Jivera Swarup Hoy, Krishnera Nityada. Jivera Swarup Hoy is not that I am, you know, I am king, I am businessman, I am CEO, I am, you know, temple leader, I am leader of this service in the temple. Jivera Swarup is not that. Jivera Swarup is Krishnera Nityadas. We understand that bodily designation is irrelevant. We see examples in Srimad Bhagavatam, animals. Gajendra is glorifying Krishna. We see in Ramayana, Jatayu is glorifying Krishna. We see in this Krishna book, in the 10th canto, the Nagapatnis, snakes. So elephants, vulture, snakes are glorifying the Lord. How is it possible? You know, sometimes when we read, when I was, you know, a few weeks back, I was speaking on Kaliya Daman Leela in our HPCL program. And the prayers of Nagpatnis, I was reading. I said, yaar, thoda jyada ho gaya na. Nagpatnis, they are wives of snakes. How they are writing such elaborate thing about Krishna. They are glorifying Krishna as Supreme Lord, Controller of Universe. How is it possible? It is possible. Mukham karoti vachalam. Because they got so absorbed in Krishna that they immediately surrendered to him and the words just manifested, right? So even animals. Few weeks back, there was this video circulating of three girls, you know, who sang a particular bhajan in Malayalam. It's a Malayali bhajan composed by some poet where they glorify Krishna. You know, I forget the words, where he's, you know, he's holding the flute and he's playing this flute and the poet is expressing his love for Krishna. And at the end of the song, you know, the song, it ends with Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And that they go into a very high pitch. Five, six times they are chanting Krishna at a very high pitch. And they showed that video shows three girls in a similar, you know, in a different place and different time. You know, they have made a video putting all those three girls' video together, singing this song in a singing competition. There's some competition, you know, wo jo contest hota hai na, kya bolte usko? Huh? Indian Idol type, probably Malayali Indian Idol. Okay, I don't know. So they are singing, young girls, huh? They must not be more than 6-7 years old. All three of them, when they are chanting the name of Krishna, they broke down. The first one broke down. The second one broke down. The third one broke down. All three of them, three different times, three different shows, all three of them at the peak when they are chanting Krishna's name, they started crying. You should see this video. It will bring tears to your eyes also. It is so heavy, you know, because they are singing with so much intensity that they started crying. And interestingly, one of those girls was a Muslim girl. Muslim girl, and she chanted Krishna's name, she also started crying. So, you know, this is the, you know, when there is a connection, when you connect with the name of Krishna with that intensity, somewhere it touches your soul and the words come out, right? So, for us, you know, with our broken words, whatever we have, we also, if we just sincerely pray to Krishna, right? We come in front of Shishiradha Gopinath, we come in front of Panchatattva, we pray, right? We pray, Shishiradha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai. If we come and pray to Krishna, or we speak to Krishna, or we speak about Krishna and meditate on Him, we should have the faith that even if we are not perfect in our uchar, we are not so entertaining in our lecture, some of us may be very boring in the way we speak, but it doesn't matter. We will be pleasing Krishna. At our level, of course, we should put best ever. Not that, haan, main kuch bhi toota poota bol diya, toh Bhagwan toh prasann ho jayenge, toh main effort kyun daalu? No, we have to struggle hard. We have to make full effort to speak nicely, to memorize nicely, to please the Lord, to please the Vaishnavas. But despite that, if we don't have that potency of speaking, we don't need to worry so much about the pronunciation, about the meter, about the words. Because if with a simple and sincere heart, we offer our best to Krishna, Krishna will surely be pleased. So I'll end with that. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol, Sri Gadadhar Pandit Appearance Day ki jai.